Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's September 4th, 2014, and it's a beautiful day in Clearwater. I know I say that a lot, but it is a beautiful day in Clearwater, Florida. The sun is shining. It's just the end of summer, and looking forward to a cooler autumn. You know, the fall and winter is the most beautiful time of the year here, where it isn't. It's not cold, but it's cooler than summer, and this is a beautiful place to be. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about how toxic chemicals can make you fat and how they can prevent you from losing weight. And so if fat is an issue for you, you're going to want to listen to this because toxic chemicals do affect that. And if you've been trying to lose weight, it may be that what you need to do is detox and get some of these chemicals out of your body. My guest today is Laura Adler. She's an environmental toxins expert and a certified holistic health coach. And we'll be talking about what are called obesogens. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to bring this topic to your audience.
Thank you. Thanks so much for being here. I know you know a lot about this. Now, I should say that Laura she's a certified holistic health coach, but she doesn't coach individuals. Like, you can't go to Laura as a client. What she does is that she educates other health coaches. And tell us about exactly what you do.
Well, I realize that there are all of these health practitioners are sort of boots on the ground working with clients on health issues already, whether it's excess weight or thyroid disorders or cancer or whatever it is. And I realize that the health and wellness professionals that are out there, whether they're health coaches or nurses or naturopaths or acupuncturists, whatever, they're not well-versed in the subject of environmental health, environmental chemicals, and how they impact us. So my work is focused on educating health practitioners so that they can better support their clients in the work that they're doing with them. And so it's translating all of this research that's really complicated around environmental chemicals and presenting it to practitioners in a way that really makes sense for them and for their clients.
That's just so needed. I am so happy that you're doing that. And I really, I think that what the world needs today is a lot of people like you and me, where we're picking our niche. Like, I'm translating it all for consumers. But you, as a holistic health coach, you understand that whole field and how to speak to them and what it is that they need. And I'm so glad that you're bringing all this information to that field. Because it's really, really needed. So,
I'm delighted to do it.
good. Well, you can bring it to us today. So I just wanted everybody to know that you can't call her up and have her work with you personally, but she's out there educating people that you can work with and that you can go to a holistic health coach and, you know, ask them about environmental toxins and see if they've been educated, because this information needs to get into everybody's hands. Everybody needs to be thinking with this.
Absolutely.
So, Laura, how did you get interested in this?
Well, you know, like I said, like you introduced me, I started as a health coach. You know, I had a whole other career before that, but I really started in this field as a health coach about seven or so years ago. And I had a lot of clients, like most health coaches, who were coming to me for weight loss. And, you know, environmental toxins wasn't something that was on my radar at the time. I actually didn't really know anything about it. You know, I'd heard about mercury and seafood and stuff like that, but it wasn't anything that I'd learned in my education on the path to becoming a health coach. And so I had all these clients coming to me for weight loss, and, you know, I had all those protocols that I, you know, knew would work and would help them. And some of them, you know, were seeing results and were losing weight and feeling great, but others were doing, you know, what I call all the right things. They were eating well and sleeping well and exercising and managing their stress, and they were happy, and, you know, everything was right, but they just couldn't lose the weight. Like, something was keeping them stuck, and that really bothered me because I wanted them to get results. And so I kind of started researching what else might be going on here. And I kind of started picking apart what are the lesser known contributing factors. And in that research, I stumbled into this world of environmental chemicals, and just immediately it you know, blew my hair back. I was totally like, whoa, where has this information been in all of my studies around health and wellness? It just wasn't part of that conversation. So, you know, really overnight, the focus of my practice shifted, and I really delved into this subject fully. You know, and I found in that initial research that there's so many of the chemicals that we're exposed to are linked in different ways to metabolic disease, to insulin resistance, to resistant weight loss, diabetes, obesity, and so on. And that just totally blew my mind. And so I really wanted to be of service to my colleagues because, like I said, in all of my trainings, this was new information for me. And I didn't think that was right, so I really started to do the research that was necessary to be able to educate my peers and colleagues in the practitioner community. So that's how I landed in this subject, quite by accident. But I've been, you know, doing this work now for almost 3 years, exclusively focused on education around environmental toxins. So a roundabout way, but that's how I got here.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I love it when people apply the toxics information in their own fields. So you say on your website that you're an environmental toxins expert. What does that mean?
Well, you know, I think, and I'm sure that, you know, the listeners of your show are familiar with that term. A lot of people, when they hear that term, they still think of things that are what I call out there, like external in the environment. So some oil rig off the coast of somewhere having a leak, you know, massive oil pollution, water pollution, soil pollution, what have you. So those are sort of out there, bigger things that as an individual like me or you, we don't have very much control over those things, and we can feel bad about them. And obviously we can do what we can to prevent them from happening. But as an individual, there's not a lot of touch that we have there. And so when I use this phrase environmental toxins, I'm talking more about the things that are in our personal environment, our internal spaces, our homes, the food that we eat, the water that we drink, the products that we're buying and using every day. And so these are in our personal environment. And so my work focuses on helping people understand what are the things in their immediate space that they actually do have control over, and how can we understand what's going on there and what steps can we take to change our behavior or our purchases or what have you to reduce overall exposure.
Right. And of course, this is where we meet because that's what I do too.
Yeah,
to
exactly,
a different audience. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I tend to, and like I said, some of this information is going to be recap or overview for your audience because they will have heard this from you and from other speakers as well. You know, we've got this mountain of chemicals that have hit the marketplace over the last 50, 60 years. And yeah, sure, some of these chemicals have benefited us. We don't want to tar them all with a negative brush. They're not all bad. But, and, you know, many of them have made our lives easier and better and safer, et cetera, and even longer. But most of them haven't been tested for safety, yet they're right. ending up in the products that we're buying and using every day and bringing into our home. So, right. you know, that's
well,
where
today-
I think it's. Yeah.
Yeah. Today we're going to be talking specifically about the chemicals that affect our body weight, the chemicals that make us fat and the chemicals that prevent us from losing weight. And, I just want to tell you that Lara has put together a really nice little free ebook. It's how many pages? I'm looking for the page numbers. Well, I don't see page
eight
numbers.
Or nine, I think, maybe.
Yeah, it's not. Oh, I see. 11 pages. It's called Chemicals, Not Calories. It's free. You can go to her website, laraadler.com. And remember, it's L-A-R-A and then another A, Adler, A-D-L-E-R.com. And you can get this free ebook, which will give you more details on the subject than we're going to be able to cover in the time period of our show. But we're going to go to break and then we'll come back and talk about this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd and my guest is Lara Adler, and we're going to be talking about toxic obesogens. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Laura Adler. She's a holistic, certified holistic health coach and environmental toxins expert, and she works in the field of holistic healthcare to educate her colleagues about toxic chemicals and how they can be affecting their clients. So, Laura, what exactly is an obesogen?
Well, the important question, obesogens are, it's a relatively new term, really going back to about 2006, but obesogens are chemicals that are directly or indirectly capable of increasing obesity or weight gain or diabetes or insulin resistance through the disruption of metabolic, hormonal, or developmental processes. So they have the ability to alter the development of our fat cells, alter our metabolism, and to promote fat retention. And so that's essentially what an obesogen is. Although the term is relatively new, we've actually been aware of the physiology of what's happening in the body for quite a while. So the most common example of that is, everybody's known somebody or heard stories of somebody who was put on like a prescription medication that had a side effect of weight gain.
Right? Yeah.
I'm sure that everybody knows, like, that, they're on some prescription drug and then within like 3 months they put on like 30 pounds. Well, those are obesogens. Those are chemicals that are, that chemical is having a side effect of weight gain, and the chemicals, a lot of the chemicals in our environment that we're exposed to on a daily basis behave in the exact same way. So we've actually been aware of this process for a long time. It just didn't have a name until about 2006.
So what role do you see these chemicals playing in increasing rates of overweight and obesity?
Well, I think it plays a significant role. I mean, the reality is that, we have levels of overweight and obesity in this country like we've never seen before. A full 35% of the U.S. population medically qualifies as obese, and another 34% on top of that are diagnosed as overweight. And so that's more than 70% of our population is struggling with this. And, the conventional thinking for years around weight management has always been around diet and exercise, that it's this calories in, calories out model that we are now starting to understand is not that accurate. Right? That doesn't work. If it worked, then we wouldn't be where we are.
Right.
So there's a lot more going on. And when we have increases in statistics like 70% of our population struggling with weight issues that didn't exist on this scale 30 years ago, we have to look to the environment. Because that's the only other plausible explanation. And when we look at the environment and see that so many of these chemicals have the ability to affect the body in this way, it becomes very clear that this is an enormous contributing factor. It's certainly not the only one, but it is. I liken it to a perfect storm. Right? We've got all these chemicals. We've got, sedentary or non-active lifestyles and really poor diet that, generally speaking, people are still consuming.
Well, for me, I always think of, I've done a lot of research over the past 30 years about toxic chemicals, and I finally came to the conclusion that I think that toxic chemicals, and it's not just something that I think, there's actual, I could show you studies for everything that, how toxic chemicals are related to every single body condition.
Everything.
When I first started this, it was because I had an immune system problem, and there was a lot of focus on, well, how are toxic chemicals affecting the immune system? But they're not affecting, the liver or something like that, But now we know if you're sick with anything, there's a toxic chemical association. And so it doesn't matter what the problem is, what the health problem is. The first thing to do is to handle the toxic chemical exposures, to get the toxic chemicals out of your body. Because as long as you're continuing to do that, having those toxic chemical exposures and having toxic chemicals in your body, anything else is pretty much not going to work. Because toxic chemicals are still there doing their damage. And I can't say that too many times.
No, so, it really, it hampers, it, you know, this is the body burden conversation, is that our bodies just don't, we're never designed to be able to process these chemicals out. And some of them, yeah, it can handle some of them, but not at the volume that we're exposed to now. And, you know, these, the symptoms can manifest in thousands and thousands of different ways for different people, depending on different things. And so, yeah, I mean, that's why I focus on working with health practitioners, because every single health condition that anyone is ever going to seek a health professional for has a touch in environmental toxins, and it's not okay that health professionals are not fully versed and fluent in this area.
I think all health professionals should be experts in this, and what they should be treating is exactly what you and I are doing, is getting rid of the exposures and getting the toxic chemicals out of the body. And that, that's the first thing that needs to be done before anything else is done. And every health professional in the world needs to know this and know how to do it. It's just, it, that's just where we are. So I'm glad you agree.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the primary thing that I teach too is this concept of practical avoidance, because that's the first step. Is we can't, you know, I think that a lot of conversation these days is around detoxing, and that term is used very superficially in a lot of ways.
It is.
You cleanse and I'm detoxing, woohoo. But the reality is that you're just constantly retoxing all the time. And so we have to reduce our exposures first. And then we can work on getting what's in us out to the best of our abilities while supporting our body's ability to do its job on its own. And I think these are the things that we, that health professionals and really just individual people need to be considering. It doesn't help to do a detox if you're still surrounding yourself with toxic chemicals the second you walk into your front door.
Right. I totally agree with that. We need to go to break. But when we'll talk about more of these things when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Laura Adler. She's a certified holistic health coach and environmental toxins expert. And you can go to her website, lauraadler.com, and get her book, Chemicals Not Calories, for free. It's an 11-page ebook that summarizes the things that we're talking about on the show today. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Laura Adler. She's a certified holistic health coach who works with other health coaches and in the healthcare profession to educate other healthcare practitioners about toxic chemicals and how they affect our health and the importance of considering them in healthcare. Laura, so tell us now about, there's, you have in your ebook, Chemicals Not Calories, you have a list of 20 obesogens. Tell us about those.
Well, those are just the ones that, you know, we recognize now as biologically being obesogens, meaning they're able to interfere with these metabolic pathways. The reality is that there's likely a lot more than that. We just haven't confirmed them as of yet. And, you know, this is due in part because we just haven't tested a lot of most of the chemicals that are on the marketplace. So that list of 20 is likely just a small list. But, you know, there's things like MSG and nicotine. Like, these are things that are we're commonly exposed to in our foods and through, you know, smoking or secondhand or thirdhand smoke. And then there's ones that are sort of pervasive in our environment, like phthalates or atrazine, if you're in the U.S. And so, I don't, do you want me to go into what some of those are? Would that be helpful?
Yeah. Tell us about some of the specific ones. But I want to just ask you a question before you choose some. I wanted to ask you, I see on the list MSG and fructose, which are two ingredients. And I'm assuming that you're talking about fructose, like high fructose corn syrup. Are you talking about fructose in fruit?
No, not so much.
Yeah, not so much that.
Isolated. But yeah, isolated.
It's an industrial chemical. High fructose corn syrup is an industrial chemical.
Yeah.
I mean, it's listed as a food on the label, but it's a chemical. So
Indeed. These
are two things. If people were to just stop eating MSG and stop eating fructose in any of its industrial forms, then right there you've handled two of them.
Yeah.
So it's not
Absolutely.
That difficult. It's just about being aware of what they are and where they are that you're being exposed to them. Okay,
yes,
so now
absolutely.
You go on and talk about the ones you
okay.
want to talk about.
Okay, so So, you know, one of the first ones that I highlight on in this handout or this guide is atrazine. Atrazine is one of the most, or is the most widely used herbicide in the United States. We found something like 76 million pounds of it on crops and golf courses, et cetera, throughout the year. And it filters through the groundwater. It ends up in our public drinking water where it's not filtered out. Studies have shown that 94% of drinking water in the U.S. has levels of atrazine in it. Now, atrazine has is on that list as an obesogen, and it actually interferes with our mitochondria. And I don't know if everybody remembers from like.
Well, tell us what mitochondria is.
Right. So mitochondria are basically like these little power plants inside every single cell in our body. So they are our primary source of energy production. And when our mitochondria is damaged or hampered in any way, our overall energy will decrease. And it, mitochondrial dysfunction, meaning when these are altered in any way, is really closely linked to insulin resistance. It's linked to obesity and diabetes. And these links have been made when looking at low levels of atrazine exposure. So not for people who are like applying, atrazine to fields like farm workers, but people who are drinking our tap water. Like every time you turn on the tap and there's, atrazine in it, we're getting these low levels of exposures. Right. And these low levels have been linked in animal studies to, obesity and belly fat, insulin resistance, et cetera. And so, you know, it's a significant one in that 94% of drinking water tested has this chemical presence. And so, you know, we know, like you just said, if we take MSG out or if we take isosurfactant corn syrup out or if we take processed foods and sugars out, because we want to regulate our blood sugar and our insulin levels so that we don't end up in a pre-diabetic or diabetic state. But if we're not also addressing other chemicals in our environment that do the same exact thing, we're kind of missing the boat, right?
Right. So what would somebody do to reduce atrazine in their life?
Well, they would need to get an appropriate water filter that will do that. And I believe that most carbon filters will be able to do that. And so, you know, you don't need to go out and buy bottled water. In fact, I don't encourage people to buy bottled water because those bottled water is essentially bottled tap water anyway.
Right.
And it's not as heavily regulated as municipal water supplies are. So bottled water is not the answer here. The answer is getting an in-home at the sink or whole house water filtration system based on the contaminants that are present in your water. Everybody's water is different. There is no one-size-fits-all product that I recommend. Everybody needs to do a little bit of research and understand what's in their water, and they can do that by calling their water board or Googling their water quality report for their town, which is federally required that those are produced annually.
Okay, good. So what's another chemical?
So another one that's probably one of the most common one, it's not actually a chemical, but it's rather a class of chemicals, and those are called phthalates. And it's spelled with a P-H-T-H, which throws a lot of people because it's just pronounced with a T-H. Anyway, phthalates are found in a lot of different places in our homes. They're found in certain types of plastics, but primarily they're found in our fragrance products, so the scented candles and the air fresheners and the laundry detergents and our personal care products, shampoos, body lotions, perfume, anything that's got a heavy fragrance. And so phthalates are used in these products as a solvent and as a fixative, so that when you wash your hair 6 hours later, it still smells like your shampoo. Phthalates are partly responsible for holding that fragrance into your hair or onto your clothes after you've done your laundry. And phthalates are what are called endocrine-disrupting chemicals. So they can interfere with your hormonal system, which in part regulates your metabolism. And so these chemicals are directly linked not only to weight gain, but a massive long list of other health conditions from early onset puberty to cancers, et cetera. So it doesn't really matter what your reasoning is for getting them out, just get them out because they're not necessary. So the first step there is to get rid of unnecessary fragrances in your home. You don't need to have your home smelling like, you know, Eternal Sunshine or whatever these silly names that they give these air fresheners, Spring Breeze, Mountain Spring, whatever. You know, open your windows or get some flowers in if you really want your house to smell nice. But don't go for the plug-ins or the air fresheners, scented candles, potpourri, etc.
We need to go to break, and you can continue giving more tips about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Lara Adler. She's a certified holistic health coach, and she helps her industry learn about toxic chemicals so they can help their clients. Her website is laraadler.com, L-A-R-A, and then another A-D-L-E-R.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Lara Adler. She's a certified holistic health coach who helps other health coaches and healthcare professionals learn about toxic chemicals so that they can help their clients. Lara, I just wanted to mention, because we just had a commercial on about water filters, that I've actually found one that I do think is, it's not 100% one size fits all. I've heard a couple of people say, oh, I couldn't use this because of XYZ about their water. But it removes such a broad spectrum of water pollutants that I used to say exactly what you said about that you need to find out what's in your water, maybe have your water tested, get the right water filter that matches your water. And that's still exactly what people should do. I'm just saying that this particular filter seems to be a match for most people. And
that's great. Yeah.
It's affordable. It's affordable to buy. It only costs $100 a year to replace all the cartridges. And it really gets the water clean. It's the one that I have in my house. So I am always recommending that every single person in the world needs to have a water filter, because I don't know of any tap water in the world that's clean. And this is just something we all need to do.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. It's like one of the number one things that I recommend people do is if you do anything, do that.
Yes. Yes. So, if you want to find out about this water filter, you can just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, and in the right hand column, you just look down until you see the picture of the water filter. And just click there and you'll find out all about this. It really is the best water filter I've found in 30 years of looking at water filters. So now let's go back and continue to tell us about where people are encountering phthalates and how they can eliminate those from their lives. I mean, when you think about it, like people are trying to lose weight and they're wearing perfume, and that's sabotaging it right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, these are just, you know, a lot of these things we're attached to them because of habit or because, you know, of savvy marketing has told us. I mean, look at the, you know, Clairol Herbal Essences shampoo.
I used to use that.
Their entire ad campaign, it had nothing to do with the performance of their shampoo, but how wonderful it smells.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of this is simply marketing, and we need to be mindful of that and not be sold to in that way and be smarter consumers. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, 5 years ago, it was really challenging to find natural products, you know, shampoos and lotions and deodorants that didn't have these types of synthetic chemicals. Now the marketplace is absolutely overflowing with products that are made with really clean ingredients, natural ingredients, and that don't use chemical synthetic fragrances. They use essential oil-based plant fragrances, et cetera. Yes. And those are what I tell people to transition to if they're still attached to having their hair smell good or their body lotion smell sweet or whatever. But to get rid of the conventional stuff, the font stuff that you'll find like at a Walgreens or a Target or those types of stores, because they're all going to be loaded with phthalates. And the only way that you're going to, and you're not even going to know this for sure because of labeling issues, but if you see the word fragrance or perfume on an ingredient list, you're almost guaranteed that that contains phthalates. So that's the word that you're going to want to look for on product labels, is the word fragrance or perfume. And if it's in there, that's a source of exposure for you. And you don't need to throw out every single item in your house at once. It's a whittling down process. So get rid of the non-essential ones, the scented candles first. When your shampoo runs out and you have to buy a new one, go ahead and buy one that doesn't include those products. I actually have a Pinterest board where I pin a lot of products that I really like that people can check out if they're interested. Would that be okay for me to share that URL?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just Pinterest.com/LaraAdler, LaraAdler. And I have all kinds of products that I pin there that I like. So if people are like, great, I want to buy this stuff, but what do I buy? That's a good place to start. And I know there's all kinds of resources online for people to find those things. But that's the first step.
Well, another thing is that you can also... Yeah, you can also go to debraslist.com and find a huge list of those kinds of products. In fact, on debraslist.com, it has different keywords for characteristics, and you can just click on fragrance-free, and it'll take you to all the fragrance-free products that are listed.
Fantastic. Yeah, there's so many resources out there nowadays, which is wonderful because it means that more people are going to get turned on to these products easier, which is going to ultimately shift the marketplace. So
exactly.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, good. All right, so now tell us about PFOA.
Right, so PFOA, which is short for perfluorooctanoic acid, not important that you know that, but PFOA is a chemical that's found in a lot of different places in the home. It's found in nonstick cookware. We know it as, you know, quote-unquote Teflon, which is a brand name, but we usually like to use that term, and we'll just instead say nonstick. And so PFOA is a chemical that's found in nonstick cookware. It's also found in food packaging. So if you think of grease-proof cardboards, like the lining of a pizza box or the inside of a microwavable food meal or the inside of an ice cream tub or the inside of a microwave popcorn bag, these are all often coated with this PFOA chemical. Now, PFOA chemical is another obesogen. It's capable of disrupting our thyroid, which is partly responsible for managing our metabolism and weight. So that's part of its role as an obesogen. Most people think their biggest source of exposure is nonstick cookware, and it's actually not. The biggest source of exposure comes from food packaging. I still don't think people should have nonstick cookware in their homes. I still think those should be phased out, particularly if they're scratched. But microwave popcorn is a really significant exposure source for people. The entire inside of the popcorn bag is lined with this chemical so that the butter or oil that's surrounding the kernels doesn't seep through and it's unsightly and all of that. And so this is a really simple switch for people to make, is to just, you know, as people are aiming to be healthier in their lives anyway, moving away from packaged food is always a good idea.
I agree.
It's kind of necessary. So this gives us another reason to shift away from packaged foods. Is to avoid exposure to this chemical. This chemical is found in, I think the statistic is something like 98% of people tested by the CDC. It's in our Scotchgard fabric protectors. It's in all kinds of different places in the home. The easiest place to address it is in the kitchen. So get rid of nonstick cookware. Move to enamel cast iron, stainless steel. Some people are iffy about stainless steel, whatever people are comfortable with, but to move away from nonstick, skip out on microwave popcorn. If you want popcorn, make it on the stove or use an air popper. And move away from you know, the kind of pieces that come in a box that's lined with wax, like you get at Domino's, for example.
Well,
throwing that out there.
You know, when you said it's on the inside of the ice cream carton, I almost wanted to cry because I love ice cream, but I can't remember the last time I bought a carton of ice cream. It's been so long because I don't buy ice cream because it's got, well, like the famous delicious flavors all those brands, they've all got refined white sugar in it, which I consider to be an industrial chemical. And, and even if you buy a natural one, there's a lot of sweeteners in them. And, and now to know that, I mean, it's not only the ingredients in the ice cream that might be making you fat, but the carton itself. I do make ice cream at home out of, grass-fed cream and strawberries, or, you know, I don't even put the sweetener in my ice cream,
but you really don't need to.
You can make great ice cream from, grass-fed cream or almond milk or, you know, whatever it is, the creamy thing that you eat, and just put some fruit in it, and you can just freeze the fruit and put it in the blender with your liquid and it makes ice cream. It's very easy. Well, we're getting to the end of our time. Thank you so much. This has been
so informative.
So if people want to find out more about what you do, how should they contact you?
Well, they can look, like you said, they can definitely check out my website and they can check out that free guide on my website. You know, if you're a health professional, definitely check out the programs that I offer. You can find those on my website. If you're not and you just want to know about products, or keep this conversation going, you can follow me on Twitter, which is at Laura Adler, or follow my Pinterest board, pinterest.com/Laura Adler. Those are the best ways to stay in touch that way.
Great. Well, thank you again so much.
You're very welcome.
And this is, I think that this has been really important to talk about how chemicals make us fat or prevent us from losing weight, because like chemicals are, like the number one health problem there is. Yeah. Obesity is one of the most important things that people need to handle. And the fact that those two are related, I think, is a really important thing that needs to be talked about more. So thank you, Laura. And again,
your
website
welcome.
Is lauraadler.com, and you can see her on Pinterest, too. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. You can find out more about Toxic Free Talk Radio at toxicfreetalkradio.com. Find out who the guests are coming up, and also you can listen to all these shows are archived. You can listen to this show again. You can listen to yesterday's show. So I'll be back, and be well.